Hello, welcome to this episode of My Fermented Life. Thanks for joining us as we document the journey of an entrepreneur and his family as they pursue their dreams of building a food and beverage brand. Follow along as we discuss events, lessons, and meet some really cool people along the way. Now, this week's episode is brought to you by Madge's Food, making fermented food and beverages tastier and healthier, 1 billion microbes at a time. And now, the king of kimchi, the baron of Bloody Mary, and the Maharaji of micheladas, your host, Michael Miller. And welcome to My Fermented Life. I am your host, Mike Miller. This is a podcast about an entrepreneur chasing his dream of building a food and beverage empire. This is the daily events of his experiences, the highs, the lows, the triumphs, the defeats, and the lessons learned from both of those. We welcome you to episode number one, our inaugural episode, and hope that you'll like us and follow us and join the journey. So today I want to just start off by introducing myself. I'm Mike Miller. I'm one of the founders of Madge's Food Company. We are a food company out of San Antonio, Texas, that specializes in crafting fermented food and beverages. And we have been around now for about going on 4 years. So we've made it through the first three tough years of being taking this dream of building a food company and going through the different stages. So understand, I'm an entrepreneur, still proving myself that this market is my market, but I love it. I'm having a lot of fun. So I guess the point of this podcast is a lot of entrepreneurs wait until they become successful to write a book, but the problem is we miss out on some of the details and some of the adventure along the way. And most of us don't want to sit down and read a book of 1,500 pages in order to chronicle the life that happened prior to the book. So the great thing about the way that podcasts and vlogs and all this stuff are going, we can annotate, we can record our experiences every day, and you can participate and watch in our victories, our defeats, and the lessons that come along with all of those. So I'm just so glad that you've taken your time to listen to me, and I hope that you find an inspiration, some humor, some lessons, or just really help you go to sleep. But anyway, again, thanks. So, just so you know who I am, I was born in the Midwest, originally born in Wichita, Kansas, where we still have family out. Actually, we still have a family farm. Moved around quite a bit. My father, one time in his career, was a minister, and then decided that wasn't for him, and wanted to go work aircraft with his family, where our family really is embedded in Boeing and other big aircraft companies. So we moved up to Seattle area, and eventually taking us to California in the early 80s, where I grew up most of my life in Southern California, Los Angeles County area. I am not the typical entrepreneur. I am in my 40s, so I have known that I'm an entrepreneur since a long time ago. As I grew up, I decided that after high school, I wasn't quite ready to go to college. And so I joined the U.S. Army and became an airborne ranger with 3rd Ranger Battalion out of Fort Benning. Did that for a while before, unfortunately, I was hurt. And then decided it was time to get back and get on with my life. And so then I went to UCLA, and where I met my lovely wife, who I've been married to now for 24 years. It's been wonderful. So, and we have 3 children, ranging from 13, almost 16, and now a 19-year-old who's now in the Army himself. So yeah, my life has come full circle. And now I'm living in San Antonio, Texas, where we moved about 12 years ago to have a better life with children instead of the Southern California craziness of trying to afford to live and raise a family. So we set out to move somewhere where we felt was a better way of life and a more affordable way of life, and which means bigger home, less payment. So we moved out to San Antonio, Texas. At the time, I was a headhunter, which I had done for several years. So I came out here, opened up my own agency, and quickly grew that to one of the top ones in the area. But, you know, it's a big difference between being a headhunter and running an agency. And so when the 09 happened and the change in the healthcare laws, we were really embedded in healthcare, and we saw a dramatic dip. So decided it was time to change. Yeah, I'd done that for probably 10, 11 years. And the entrepreneur in me was kind of getting burnt and wanted a new challenge. So what do you do? What does every normal American male do when they're having a kind of a quasi midlife crisis? Well, I didn't buy the Corvette. I decided I was going to do what most people would do in Texas, which is get into the oil industry and chase oil. So yes, I took on the job of getting on with one of the larger oil service firms in the world, and got a chance to work the South Texas oil fields, Louisiana, and work some insane hours and locations and do some things I never thought I would ever do in my life. It was a lot of fun. It was physically exhausting, but met some great people along the way. But knew at the bottom of my soul that this was a big company I was working for, and I was not a corporate guy. So as oil started to slow down and we saw the predictions of the recent dip, I knew we needed to find something else to keep me interested in, or just in case something that we needed to start up a side business. Because my wife at the time, she's a school teacher. She's been a special education teacher for ever since she got out of college, Southern California. So we wanted to start up a little side business. Figured when I was home off of my schedule or off of my days off, we could do something. And we looked around and couldn't find anything that didn't require a huge amount of investment or basically promoting other people's stuff. But, you know, having worked the headhunter business, I realized that I was really intrigued about building a brand and building a tangible product. But that's what I wanted to do. You see, in the service business, it's about building intangibles. It's nothing people can really put their fingers or their hands on. It's just the touchy-feely. It's the, well, you know, you got me a better job than the next one, or I liked your relationship better. And don't get me wrong, that's all important. But the problem is, it's just, it became so commoditized. You know, it's how do you justify why, you know, your one fee and another was another fee? You know, to the world, it was just so commoditized. I mean, there's a way to do it, and I understand that, but I don't know. I just felt like my next challenge in life was to build a physical product, learn how the development of the product lifestyle happened, and then most importantly, how to build a brand. So one day we had this crazy idea that maybe we should look into food. And this really started, you know, probably 20 years ago in our marriage. You know, one thing that we did, you know, I grew up in my grandmother was from the Midwest in Kansas. And I just remember something special about those moments in grandma's kitchen and growing up and just in awe of grandma's. And I know a lot of you felt that same way about your grandma, just something about it, just in awe of this matriarch of the family. And I remember sitting in her kitchen as an early kid and having breakfast with her. I was nothing happier than having my bowl of Wheaties and eating my toast with my grandma's famous tomato jam. And I used to brag about this tomato jam for all these years being married to my wife about one of these days, you know, you got to try this tomato jam. It's just something just romantic about it. It just stayed in my life all these times. And I used to bug her about it and just year after year. And then finally, you know, when I started thinking, hey, why don't we, you know, launch a business? And, you know, just kind of kicking around. And I remember I was out on a job in Texas and coming away. I think it was a job in Houston. On the way back to San Antonio, we stopped in this little town called Schulenburg. It's the town of the painted wooden churches or something like that. And there's this little gift shop there. And lo and behold, it had all these old-fashioned jams. And I stopped, and there it was on the shelf. It was a sweet tomato jam. I was like, oh my gosh, just like my grandma's. I was so excited. I took it off the shelf. I purchased it, was bragging it to my colleagues. And then we went home. And so came a couple days later. I was so excited. I had the fridge. It chilled down for temperature. And got out the spoon. Was getting ready to brag about how amazing this tomato jam was. Got the spoon out. Open the lid, put the spoon in, into my mouth it goes, and oh my gosh, it was horrible. This was definitely not grandmother's tomato jam. Had the wife taste it, and she was like, yeah, that's not good. So, we decided, as my wife encouraged me, says, you know what, I've heard you talk about this for years. Why don't you just get the recipe and make it? So we called up my aunt because my grandmother had passed away at this time in our life. And we got some of the, went through the old family recipes, and lo and behold, we found her recipe. Now, the one thing you have to understand too about grandmothers is grandmothers were never exact in the recipes. It was a smidge of that or a little of this, or the deciphering you had to do. Like, I think with one of her other recipes is, what is a mango pickle? You know, or a mango pepper. That's it. A mango pepper. So, which I came to find out is a bell pepper. But anyway, back to the tomato jam. So, I went and made it. And I got close. I kind of messed it up. I had never made a jam in my life. And wasn't sure about the science of how it works. But, man, I was close. And it sure did come close. But it was more like candied lemons is what it ended up tasting like. But that's when the wife took over and she mastered the art of jam making. And we finally made our first batch of Madge's famous tomato jam. And I remember that first taste. It like it took me back to when I was 5 years old, sitting on that stool in my grandma's kitchen, eating my Wheaties and my toast with the tomato jam. And that's what started this journey over this last 4 years of trying to build an empire, or what I call my food and beverage empire, or building that brand. Now, hopefully this podcast will go over a lot of what where we've come over the 4 years and where we're at and where we're going in the future, because I'm really excited. You know, we've made it this far. We're going on almost 4 years now. And we've made it through the hump. But, man, it's there's so much more to go. And I love the hunt. And I love the chase of this dream. So I look forward to this podcast and you learning more about me. And hopefully, please take time to ask questions or leave comments as I get to know you guys and my audience. And I appreciate your time on this journey. And otherwise that, hey, make every day the best. Chase your dream, because that's truly living. Enjoy.